For KFSK News, I'm Angela Dunning. Guardian Flight has settled a wrongful death lawsuit over a 2019 air ambulances crash in southeast Alaska that killed three people. Dylan Litzberger of Juneau sued the Utah-based medevac company over the death of his 30-year-old fiancée, Stacy Ray Morse, a flight nurse who was 27 weeks pregnant at the time, according to the lawsuit. The twin-engine King Air turboprop was on the way to the village of Cake to pick up a patient the evening of January 29th of 2019, but federal investigators say during its approach, it inexplicably veered to the right and then dropped more than 2,500 feet in just 14 seconds. It hit the water at high speed, destroying the aircraft. The bodies of the three crew members were never found, and investigators never established a cause for the crash. The original lawsuit sought more than $100,000 for gross negligence against the company, but court filings on Wednesday indicate that both parties have now settled for an undisclosed sum. Neither party would comment on the amount, saying the terms of the agreement are confidential. The Petersburg Community Foundation this week announced its latest round of grants, totaling just over $24,000, to programs and projects here in Petersburg. The eight grants go to nonprofits, the school district, medical center, and a project planned at Mountain View Manor. Foundation Board President Liz Cabrera says requests for funding come in each year from a wide cross-section of the community.
We have grants for youth support of youth organizations. There's a little bit of emphasis on child care this year, and I think that has been an ongoing issue all year, not just here but across the country. And then we have arts and community activities and support for older adults at the Manor. So I think a good cross-section of the community is represented in the grant awards.
Grants this year go to the Rainforest Festival for technology access to festival events for those who can't attend in person and website support for the Petersburg Arts Council. Another goes to the Petersburg Medical Center for an assessment of community needs for child care and early childhood education. The school district wins a grant for a paper shredding program that could be a small business opportunity for special education students in the middle and high schools. Grant money will also pay for maintenance work on the Petersburg Children's Center and electrical upgrades at KFSK. There's also money for playground equipment for Good Beginnings Preschool and the Kinderskog after-school program, and a contribution to the Deck Out the Deck project at Mountain View Manor. That money is paid out from the interest earnings from a permanent fund of sorts, started in 2008 to aid local programs and under the umbrella of the Alaska Community Foundation. The local fund has paid out grants since 2009, totaling over $190,000 since then. Sue Paulson is a board member and one of the fund's founding donors.
It was simply with the seed money from the Rasmussen Foundation, and they have continued to offer matching grants throughout the existence of this group. And so I believe we're reaching towards $1 million invested. And, of course, every time we find ourselves with a larger fund balance, it's like the Alaska Permanent Fund. More interest is available for projects in Petersburg.
The endowment fund is over $800,000 and could be growing again this year with more matching money. If Petersburg can raise $30,000 this year, the Rasmussen Foundation has pledged to match that amount. In addition, the foundation's board may award more grants in 2021. Again, here's Board President Liz Cabrera.
So this last year, we postponed our 2020 competitive grant cycle and actually turned those into discretionary grants, just recognizing that there might be some unique needs in the community. And so we still have some funds from that, just in that discretionary account. And so we are still accepting letters of interest. These are generally more basic need, COVID-related type of grant awards. And so we still have some money, I think just under $20,000 available in that pot. And then would probably, for another competitive grant cycle, we would probably wait until next year to do that.
The foundation normally announces its grants during a gathering for donors around the Little Norway Festival weekend, but is not planning that this year. Donate online or find out more at the website petersburgcf.org. Petersburg Medical Center expanded its home health services during the COVID pandemic. Now, administration says it will likely keep the extra staff in place for good. Here's more on that. Home health care patients receive medical care at their homes, located all over Petersburg. They might need a little or a lot of care from nurse visits. Sometimes they need a social worker to help them navigate their health care needs.
And the idea is to deliver those services outside of the facility, and that's just exploded.
Phil Hofstetter is the CEO of the medical center. He says the expansion of home health came out of necessity. Patients needed care, but they couldn't always come into the clinic during the pandemic.
We had to figure out some way to deliver services. Otherwise, they're going to come in through our ER. Because we're an island, there's no place to go. If they can't get their care, prevention of care, they're going to end up coming into the ER, so we have to figure out something.
He says PMC reacted quickly. They doubled their staff, going from 2.5 people to 6 dedicated to the service. He says the hospital plans to continue staffing home health care at that level because the need will still be there after COVID.
It was always there. What we found was that those patients were not getting enrolled into home health because we didn't have the availability of staffing. And also, they were fulfilling the need, what I would call a workaround, by going to the clinic and just getting seen. So it, you know, they were getting their needs met, but it wasn't maybe as appropriate as home health enrollment.
There are requirements for getting enrolled in home health, and some COVID patients have fallen into that category. So nurses have delivered oxygen to their homes and kept tabs on them there instead of the patients coming into the clinic. Hofstetter says, in general, patients do better at home.
Whether it's COVID or whether it's some other chronic illness or process, you know, there's a lot of studies out there that recovery and care is improved in the home.
Hofstetter says the home health department provides a continuity of care. While some patients are eventually discharged from home health care, others may need to transfer into other services, like assisted living or long-term care. He says home health workers also help with those transitions. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. The 2021 edition of Petersburg's Little Norway Festival kicks into higher gear today and tomorrow with a number of traditional events that will look a little different and some new offerings on the schedule. The festival pageant, normally one of the last events, is bumped to the front of the line, and it's outdoors, like many of the other things planned. The pageant starts at 5:15 tonight at the corner of Excel and Main Streets. In the same spot, Hammer and Wecon will be unveiling a new mural to commemorate the company's 100th anniversary at 6 p.m., followed by a street dance at 6:30. Tomorrow, the parade is at 4 p.m., followed by the herring toss, and a new event, Grocery Cart Races. Joe Vicknicki spoke with Chamber Administrator Mindy Madol-Lopez about this year's schedule.
So let's just kick it off for Thursday night. We're kicking it off with our Norwegian dance and our American Norwegian Award ceremony as well. And so we want to encourage everyone to come out for that. And then Hammer and Wecon have a few things planned after that as well. So,
this is all right down on Main Street, I believe.
Yes, this will be right down on Main Street there.
Okay. All right. And meanwhile, the vendors and the food booths and all, is that going on Friday, Saturday? Or?
Yes. So Friday and Saturday starting at 10 a.m., we have the food vendors and other booths set up. It looks different this year. Normally we have food underneath the big tent. That is not happening this year. So basically, the layout of what it's going to look like that weekend is the big tent. In fact, we got a brand new tent for the chamber, so that's super exciting. We're going to be putting that tent in the municipal parking lot. With that, we're going to be hosting events underneath there. And one exciting one that we have is being able to paint the Little Norway Festival logo with the winning artist. So we have like 24 people that can sign up for that. So give me a call at 772-3646 and we can get you with that, and that's $5. With that, we're going to be doing underneath there as well. We have kind of like a cakewalk, but instead of a cakewalk, it's a prize walk. And when you step on a number and that number's drawn, you get a prize. So that will be going on underneath there, as well as art galleries are going to be happening. So lots of fun stuff with that. So with that being said, we have all the way down from Hammer and Wecon Hardware all the way down to the municipal federal building is going to be lined with booths. One thing that we have, each booth we had to spread out, obviously due to COVID restrictions. So each booth will be 10 feet apart from each other. So there'll be 10-foot spacing to kind of create more space and not so much crowds and stuff. And we're asking the booths, or the food booths as well, to try to do their best to prepackage their food so we don't have long lines waiting for us. The food court this year, as it's normally under the tent, it's going to be on the block of First Bank and El Zarape all the way down to the insurance company and Viking Travel. So that whole area is going to be our food court. And then on both sides down the street is going to be our other booths with arts and crafts and goodies with that. We are going to block off the walkway there between Hammer and Wecon and Homeport Electronics. And Excel will be open for those who need access to the harbor. We do encourage those that will be driving down that way, please, to be mindful of people coming back and forth and kids and stuff. My goal is to have certain people there to help direct traffic and get kids and families across safely. And then we're going to block off their walkway there between Coastal and Bloomsterhus all the way down to the federal bill, or to Alps Credit Union. And that's going to be for the beer garden. It's going to be in the Coastal parking lot, and they have some fun things planned for people as well. So with that being said, please just be mindful of Excel there when you're crossing the street. This year, this is kind of how we had to do, is spreading out, and maybe next year will be different. But as far as this year, this is how it's going to, the plan's going to go down.
Any big changes to existing events or new events this year?
One cool event that we're doing is after the parade, that's going to be happening, we're going to do some grocery cart races. And Hammer and Wecon's going to be donating some gifts and prizes towards that for their 100th year. So that's going to be a fun addition.
Any other big changes besides all these COVID mitigations?
You know, we still, I think I have like 45 booths that are signed up. So people are excited and ready to get out there. But again, we just want to enforce or encourage, I should say, just to keep the mitigation plan and the mandates in mind when we celebrate.
And do you know of visitors coming to town for the festival?
You know, I've heard of visitors coming, yes. I don't know how many, but I do know that we're going to have a handful of people coming through.
People are excited to have it, I know, have something happening this year, where last year we didn't have it.
Yes, and I think that that's why there's so much anticipation stirring, is because we weren't able to have it last year. And again, I'm very thankful for my committee, my Little Norway committee. They have put in many hours alongside of me to see this be fulfilled, and I appreciate them. Couldn't do it without them. And for the EOC for coming alongside of us and allowing this to happen too. But yeah, other than that, we're, my floor, my office downstairs is being overtaken with a new sound system. That is one exciting thing that we have this year, is we have a brand new sound system that we bought just to kind of help make the festivals that much more exciting. That way people can hear us all the way down Main Street. They can hear what's going on, upcoming events. Our goal is to have a few local artists to get on stage, just plug in their guitar and sing for 20 minutes while everyone is up and down the street. So it's going to create a great atmosphere this year.
And that's Chamber Administrator Mindy Madol Lopez talking about the festival. The streets around the Hammer and Wecon Hardware Store on Excel and Main will be closed to vehicles tonight for the pageant, mural unveiling, and street dance. Main Street closures are also planned for tomorrow and Saturday for vendors. You can find a full schedule online at petersburg.org, or find a link along with this interview on KFSK's website, kfsk.org. For KFSK, I'm Angela Denning.